But we are in session 12 again tonight. We'll be part two, and this is, we'll be in the second section. But this is the part three of our series, Taking Time to Quiet Your Soul, written by Jim Berg. We are now at part three, talking about the way out. And we began our session last week on identifying your loudest noisemaker. Let me see if I can find the clicker here. Do we know if the clicker is up here at all? Those of you that don't know what... Oh, yep, it's right here. So we'll try it in just a second, see if it works. But yes, identifying your loudest noisemaker. And we started off there in Psalm 38. If you just want to turn over there in your Bibles, Psalm 38 is where we began. And we can start off there again this evening. Psalm 38. Before we begin, let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you again for the folks that have come out tonight. Lord, I pray you'd bless those that could not make it, and you'd help them and encourage them. I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us and strengthen us in our faith. It is our goal, Lord, my prayer, that we would all leave here tonight encouraged in the Lord, and that we would be comforted and strengthened by your word, even if it's through confession. Lord, whatever it might be, Lord, may we leave here with the power of God upon our lives, and we pray that you would guide now in Christ's name. Amen. Identifying your loudest noisemaker. That is the theme of our study, has been how to quiet the noisy soul in our life. Somebody mentioned earlier, I thought it was pretty funny, and then I also saw something on social media, but thinking about identifying your loudest noisemaker, for some of us in this room, immediately our children come to mind. And somebody said, boy, if we got an award for being parents of the loudest noisemakers, we would be killing it. Anybody else agree with me on that? You parents here, not kids, know how to be loud? I mean, it is just something that they be loud. They know how to just really, and it can be first thing in the morning. And boy, you know, you just got to love them even more for that. But this is talking about the noise that is found in our souls. And David was one who truly demonstrated a man who had a noisy soul, but yet he responded to God in a biblical way that we should follow, that we should emulate and look to and draw encouragement from. Notice there in verse number 2, notice that terminology he uses after he had sinned against the Lord and God's conviction was coming upon him. And he says, "For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore." What is he talking about there? He's talking about the conscience. And that is the subject of tonight's study and last week's study. It is truly a built-in alarm system that God has given all of us, even unbelievers. He uses the conscience, as we see very clearly in Romans chapter 2. We can see that. Let me see if I can get this here. We see again that was in Psalm 38:4. "Mine iniquities again have gone over mine head, a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." He's talking about his conscience and the guilt there. So we talked about last week the function of the conscience. Notice this verse with me that I have on the overhead here. It's again proof from Scripture that every human being has a built-in conscience that came from their Creator, our Creator. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law." Now, this is talking about people that have not even received the law of God. It's the nature, the things contained in the law. "These having not the law," they don't have it, "are a law unto themselves." How can that be? How can man be accountable that has not received the law? I'll tell you why. God has given them a conscience. Look what the next verse says. "Which show the work of the law," what? "Written in their," what? "Their hearts, which is their conscience also bearing witness. It's pretty amazing that God Almighty has given us this alarm system to go off when sin comes into our life. And that is indeed what it is to do. Let me see here. Let me explain, first of all, this first aspect of the alarm system is the afflictor. That is the conscience that makes us uncomfortable, makes us miserable indeed when we've done something wrong, when we've stepped out of line. And then we see the reason that is because God wants to bring us back to fellowship with Himself. That is the whole purpose. Remember, where is the most miserable place for the Christian to be? Out of the will of God, and specifically out of fellowship with God. It is indeed the worst place a Christian can be. And that is because God is drawing us back to Himself because He loves us. And He does that. But even David, he felt afflicted. My roaring all the day long. It started off silent, but it finally got to a place where David was like, I can't take this. I need to make some, God, you got to do something. I got to do something. Lord, help me. And God's going to help him. And He helps you and He helps me when we get into these situations, when we know we're out of the will of God. And the Lord is saying, come back. And He is calling us. I think maybe, I don't think these are working in order. Okay, I thought I had these in order. Are they in order? They just did not line up that way. Okay, well, let's just look at the outline. You got that in front of you. We'll just go with that. We may be able, if you can find the verse, Brother Mike, when we get to the verse, you can bring it up when I call it out. So if you guys would just be looking for that. So first of all, let's look here at the, we talked about the function of the conscience. We talked about the afflictor, but also in your outline, it talked about the discerner. That's the ability to judge our actions. That's what the conscience does. And you see your little graph there in your outline. When sin is detected, it's that discerner and that afflictor that goes off. And we talked about like our alarm system right here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. We have a great one. And it's built off a sensor, a motion sensor. And anytime you set the alarm and it detects motion, it is going off. And several of us have been very embarrassed when we set it off and could not turn it off. And that did happen to me when I first came to the creek. I was so embarrassed. I think I'd been here about a week, and I set it off. And then to make matters worse, I forgot the password. And so by that time, we got probably the fire trucks coming out about that time. And, oh, way to make a great impression right on the job, right? It's like, wow, man alive. But nevertheless, we, God, have a built-in alarm system that, folks, let's just be transparent here with each other. We got to be careful. Let's don't get mad at the alarm system when it's doing its job. Amen. I mean, it'd be ridiculous for us to have a high-dollar alarm system and then just get so upset when it detects an intruder. I wanted to sleep tonight. That thing just had to detect that thief, that robber that was coming in, you know? And so, you know, we can't be that way. We got to realize that, no, God has put this in me. He's designed me, and He's doing this for my good. And God's glory. So we see the alarm system, don't we? But then secondly tonight, and I must move quickly, we see the adjustment of our conscience. You see, not only the function of our conscience, but we see the adjustment of our conscience. This is where it is can be dangerous because the conscience is desensitized by repeated sinning and rationalization. In other words, when we continue to ignore the conscience that God has given us, that is empowered by His Spirit. When we continue to ignore that, it leads us down roads we do not want to go down. And that's why you cannot just let your conscience be your guide. All right? Because it can be moved. It cannot be your only guide. God will use it, but it cannot be your only guide because it must be held accountable to the Word of God. Notice 1 Timothy 4:2. I believe do we have that one? 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Paul said, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What is that referring to? Well, that's referring to the conscience seared with a hot iron is the idea of burning the nerve endings. They would do that at times with a hot iron just to bring numbness. And they are saying, Paul is saying right here, that same thing is done to the conscience. They choose to turn from what God is trying to teach them. Also, Titus 1:15, unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But he goes on to say, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So it is possible to get off track when we do not, as we see in your point number one, when we do not respond to God's leading because of the repeated sinning and rationalization. You ever heard that old saying, and I believe this is true, that you can talk yourself into anything. You really can. You have that ability. If you go by your own rationalization and how you feel and different things of that nature, you can convince yourself and desensitize yourself to the revelation of God, to His Word. And I do believe that if we lose the sensitivity of our conscience, we lose the protection of our conscience. Let me say that again. If we lose the sensitivity of our conscience, we lose the protection of our conscience. So we don't want to lose that. In fact, church, this is what we want to do. We want our conscience to grow more and more sensitive in our Christian life. We want to become more and more tender to the leading of God's Spirit. So that way, God, when something comes into our life that does not line up with the Word of God and it's contrary to the will of God, we're quick to get it right. Because the longer we put off unconfessed sin, the grave danger is that we become desensitized to other sins in our life. And nobody wants to be in that situation. Nobody sets out to do that. We know that even in Ephesians 4:19, it states, who pass feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, which is basically shameful lust. They were turned over to their own minds in that way. Romans 1:21 says, they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That was after God had been dealing with them already, and it just got worse. You know, as the ability to feel pain at our fingertips is a God-given gift to preserve us from physical destruction. We feel heat very quickly, and we are careful because of that. And there are other things that we can be careful about with that. We sense motion as well. I know when I was in the Coast Guard, we had Helo Ops, and that HH-65, buddy, I'm telling you, when it would come down on the flight deck, and we were on a real big boat, it was a 210-foot cutter, and I loved Helo Ops, and we had about four or five of us that would go out there, and we were the tie-down crew. So here's this HH-65, it's the one you'll see along the coast, flying it, and see it a good bit of times, but he would come down on that flight deck, and just man, the intensity of those propellers and that helicopter, the force that it was putting off coming down on the flight deck, it was pretty scary. And I'm glad I could feel that wind because it was an alarm system. Stay low. You get out there and you stay low because you could just feel the wind coming off of that helicopter as it was landing. And God has given us a built-in system in many ways to be able to sense and to preserve our lives, even from spiritual destruction, because if you lose that sensitivity, you lose the protection. And I like what he says here in letter C. Don't ignore the moment after when you sin. The longer the wait, the more mental justifications and diversions mask the noise of conscience. And your soul is unprotected. It's very important to be right away. I know it's been said by many, but I think it's worth saying again that it's just a great idea, and it's biblical, and it's right just to keep short accounts with God. And we'll talk about more how to clear your conscience in our next lesson. But you know, some people have said, you know, I don't want to clear my conscience because I know I'm going to mess up again. Well, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something to encourage you? God already knows you're going to mess up again too. Because we will. But here's the thing. That's besides the point. The point is that we got to do what's right at that moment, that day. I got to do what's right. Yes, I may mess up. I'm not going to plan on it, but that may be reality, and God already sees that. But God is going to hold us accountable for what we know. And I don't know the future. I'm going to do my best, and I'm not going to plan to fail or sin, but I'm telling you right now, I know what I can do today. I know what God has brought across my conscience today, and I'm going to be held responsible for that. And so keep that in mind. But let's go through this second point here. Notice number two in your outline. The conscience is fine-tuned by repeated obedience to the Word. Now, please note there, I put an underline under repeated obedience, and right above it, I wrote, not just listening. Can you write that on your outline? Right above repeated obedience, the conscience is fine-tuned by not just listening to the Word. This is my final point tonight. This is why church members can come to a services, and be here every service. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and still continue in sin with a guilty conscience without getting right with God. Because you can come and you can listen, and I can listen, and it's the same reason preachers. How is it that preachers can spend hours upon hours in the study, studying the Word, preparing sermons and messages, and then choose a sinful route that just brings shame upon the name of Christ and hurts the church? The same reason and the same way that church members do it. There is a listening to the Word. There is a looking to the Word. But in order to keep our conscience sensitive, there's got to be an obeying the Word. I mean, a follow through, not just coming and hearing the Word, but obeying. Notice what Hebrews says in chapter 5, verse 13. Paul said, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." But notice what the next verse says, verse 14. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses, their conscience, exercised to discern both good and evil." Can you leave that verse up just for a minute, please? Notice, don't miss that "by reason of use." Get it, y'all. This is so helpful to us. Our conscience grows stronger and stronger and more sensitive. In the built-in alarm system, it gets stronger and stronger as we grow in Christ, as we use it. As we use the Word of God that we've been given, as we follow through in submitting to it and obeying it, that is where we're going to grow in Christ and be more and more tender. That's where marriages are really going to go strong, because that husband and that wife, they will be so sensitive when there's a crossword shared and a hurtful word, which it happens because we're human and something happens. We can't go to bed. We got to get this right. Why does it happen like that? It's because we're wanting to obey the Word of God. We're wanting to submit to the Lord. And you can put that in every area of life as a Christian. It's truly God's plan for us to strengthen the alarm system by obeying. But notice what it says here. The youths have their senses exercised. And what are we going to be able to do? To discern both good and evil. To be able to see between it. And to be able to understand God's will in these matters. You know, there will be sometimes, folks, as we live life, let's be honest here tonight. There are some things in the Christian life that are not black and white. It's not spelled out perfectly in Scripture. What do I do in this situation? Sometimes it's like that. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to help you tremendously and help me is to have our senses exercised already, because we've already obeyed the truth that we do know. The truth that we already had, we are obeying that as much as we know how. And then those gray areas, we just say, Lord, I'm at your mercy. But what I sense in my spirit here, in my conscience that you've given me, I don't have peace about this, Lord. And so I'm not going to do that. That'll honor Christ. That's a discernment that comes from God. And don't be ashamed about those things. Stand strong in that. And the Lord will bless you. I got to share this one with you. James 1:22, same truth. Listen to what James said to these believers. But be ye what? Doers of the word. That means obeying the word that you know, the revelation that you know and been given, and not hearers only. And a lot of people quote the first part of this verse, and they do not quote the second part. And that's dangerous. That's unfortunate. Because notice what it says, deceiving your own selves. So in other words, again, a preacher who studies his word and preaches but yet lives in sin, he's deceived himself. He's desensitized himself. A church member who comes in and listens to the word week on and week out and listens to it but has no change or conviction or a tender conscience before God, they're deceived themselves. And that word deceived carries the idea of deluded. And I don't want to change the translation because that's the correct translation. But by way of application and by way of our study tonight could be read, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, desensitizing your own selves. We don't want to desensitize ourselves, folks. We don't want to harden our hearts. When we leave here out of every church service, no matter what's been preached, even if it's just the gospel, any message that has been preached out of this book, any Sunday school lesson that has been taught, any devotional that you read in your personal devotions, you want to ask God to use that time to tenderize you. That's why I tell parents many times, I'm like, look, you need to be in church and your kids need to be in church. That's where you are going to be able to have your conscience strengthened, because you are going to hear the Word of God and you're going to obey the Word of God. And you don't want to replace that or substitute that with anything. And we see that. And our last verse in closing is our goal every day. You notice what Paul said there in Acts to the Ephesian elders. He noticed what he said, the testimony. He says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense. First of all, toward God. And then secondly, toward men. And so when we do not get right with God, we desensitize our conscience. And then also when we hold grudges against men, when there's unforgiveness, there's also a desensitization, desensitizing to our conscience. You know, it would be kind of crazy for me, I was a teen, to offend my dad, and there were many times that I did that and just disobeyed him outright, and there was a lot of friction because of that. But what would be even bizarre, church, if there was a lot of contention and a lot of friction when I did something wrong against my dad, is if I would turn around at that same point when I have told, when I have deliberately and disobeyed my dad and say, "Oh, by the way, Dad, can I borrow $20 for tonight?" That wouldn't be too good, would it? Well, you know, sometimes as God's children, all of us, sometimes we come to God and say, "God, would you give me victory in this? Would you give me this this deliverance from anger and worry and addiction? Provide for me, Lord. Provide for me." And we say that without taking the first step and just clearing our conscience. Get right with God. The right thing would be to say, "Dad, I am sorry. I totally disobeyed you." And then I possibly could ask for $20, which, knowing my dad, he probably would not have. But after doing that, but nevertheless, you see my point. With our Father, He does want to bring deliverance. He does want to give us victory. But He's calling His children home first, saying, "Well, listen, I've been dealing with you about this, and I want you to get your conscience cleared in this area. Then we can talk." That's what the message is here. Next week, with the Lord's help, we'll talk about clearing your conscience with God. Let's pray.